We're talking today with Randy Block from Cattle Facts. Randy, you've just finished your annual presentation, the annual seminar, part of the Cattle Industry Convention. Some interesting things that you talked about and other folks on Cattle Facts talked about. Your statement, though, very intriguing to me, that key number one, we got to have a corn crop.
We got to have a corn crop. You know, we're out of Plan Bs. So, you know, you look at how we utilized our available refuge supplies when we had the failure of the corn crop this last year, and we've warehoused cattle in all aspects of it. Placements were down 1.3 million head from the late summer and through the fall, and we've got to have a corn crop. You know, it's not just us, but pork and poultry, those industries have to have a corn crop. This has been a devastating drought scenario we've gone through, and it's spilled a tremendous amount of red ink through all of these livestock production segments, whether it's pork, it's poultry, dairy, or beef. All of them have been devastated by the drought.
You alluded to the closing of the packing plant in Plainview, Texas. I alluded to the fact that you feel that may not be the end of it.
No, I don't think we can expect that that'll be the end of it. You know, last year, the number of fed cattle harvested declined about 900,000 head, and that'd be equivalent to a plant about the size of Plainview of what they had harvest on an annual basis. And we look at what's coming down the road, we're likely to see again close to that kind of a reduction over the next couple of years again until we can start to grow this herd back. So the likelihood is we'll see another plant close, and we'll likely see some additional non-fed plants that will be shuttered as well.
Kind of working our way maybe backwards on the chain, the health of the packing industry. You know, what do you see as far as are they doing the things such as that closing of that plant? Is that going to help keep them healthy, help them keep them moving forward?
Well, that's just a reflection of the very difficult margin situation they've been in over the last 15 months, and that's a natural occurrence when you go through the kind of red ink that's been spilled. So the closing of the plant will make all of the other existing fed cattle plants more efficient. So, and they will gain some leverage back. They'll have a more efficient production system now where they'll be able to harvest more hours. So, yes, that's the necessary step. That's why we end up seeing contraction, whether it's in the packing segment of the industry or in the feeding segment of the industry, is that's what you'll see is eventually some improved efficiencies.
Red ink in the feedlots, you say we've got to have some profitability by the second half of the year.
We've gone through the last 6 months have been pretty tough. Record high break evens, record high corn prices, and a market that has tended to run into a lot of resistance. We've not been able to push prices through this ceiling up here in order to get prices high enough to cover our production costs. So if that continues with this stagnant economy that we're dealing with, you know, the repercussions of that is we could see that spill over into the feeder cattle markets and the calf markets later in the year. So it's pretty important that the feeding industry starts to get back to some profitability here, at least by the second half of the year. And honestly, I think that's a little bit of a stretch. I think it's that'll be a little bit early with where we are in the stage of the cycle.
You talked about it. Kevin Good also talked about this. The ceiling, $200 on the wholesale trade this last year, $1.30 a pound on the cash cattle trade. Can we break through those ceilings in 2013?
Well, I think we will. I think we'll be able to break through, and we'll be able to see fed cattle prices get on top of 130 for at least a short period of time. Unfortunately, we've got a lot of break evens that are in the mid to upper 130s. So, yes, I think we will get through it, but I'm not sure we'll get high enough for the cash market to allow us to cover our break evens.
Backing up to our stocker type operators, they obviously have been a margin operator in the past. There's just so few animals compared to maybe just a couple of years ago that they're dealing with.
Well, I think that'll be a little bit of a challenge for stocker operators as we go into 2000 and in the spring of 2013. We all know that those calf prices get higher going into spring, and they're always at their peak in the spring. I suspect that as the moisture situation improved, as Dr. Douglas shared with us, we're going to get a little better moisture situation going into spring, that these calf prices are going to get better. It's going to take record high prices there too with the break evens we'll see. But fortunately, that segment of the industry has tended to get along pretty well up until this last year. A number of producers got caught when corn went from $5 to $8 in 3 weeks' time. That's a major shock that's very, very difficult to predict and to prepare for. So if they got caught on the wrong side of that, it wasn't a very positive situation. But in general, that segment of the industry has tended to do pretty well here over the last 7 or 8 years.
Everybody's talking, obviously, about the beef cow numbers and the fact that we're at historic lows over, you know, decades back since we've seen numbers this low. Are we at a critical – how hard is it going to be able to get over the critical mass to rebuild this mama cow herd from this level?
Well, it starts with moisture. We got to have the moisture. Then we've got to replenish our feed reserves. Our feed reserves are depleted at some of the lowest levels we've seen in 40 years, whether we look at roughage supplies or corn supplies. So those are the first two things in that order. Then you start to give people confidence to retain heifers and start to build the cow herd. And from the start to finish of that, it takes about 30 months once we make the decision before we see increased output. So we're going to have pretty tight supplies here over the next 2.5 years. And hopefully we can start to see some improvement in numbers or increase in numbers 2 to 3 years down the road.
As far as that overall strategy that you were trying to leave folks with today, you know, in the business, what does a guy really do? In other words, how does he make sure that he survives to get to maybe that prosperity that could be down the road a year or so?
Well, I think the business has changed so much. There's so many moving parts. I think you could see it even in the Outlook presentation that we had today. We talked about energy. We talked about oil. We talked about gas. We talked about ethanol. We talked about corn, cattle, pork, poultry, global markets, currencies, demand, supply. All of those things play a major role in ultimately how prices end up shaking out. And consequently, if we aren't managing risk, I'm concerned that too many producers are still betting thy whole wad. And in this kind of uncertain market environment that is going to continue, I think we've got to develop a better business mindset, risk management mindset, to where we try to take some of these real equity swings out of play.
One last question, Randy. That has to do with the Japanese market, this decision that they've lightening up on their restrictions from that 20-month level to 30-month level. How big is that really for the industry?
Oh, it's a big situation. You know, we've been in a situation, we've had limited access to Japan since 2004, and we move forward, we finally get expanded access. That would give us access to about 96% of the market that we had pre-BSE. So that's the first thing. Up to now, we've only gotten back 50% of the market share that we had in Japan prior to being closed out 10 years ago. So that's a lot of upside potential there. And I think it'll take us 2 or 3 years to win back all of that market share that we lost to other countries. But eventually we'll win that market share back. In the short term, we'll still increase, ship more product to Japan. We'll see more variety meats, things like tongues, offal items, those kind of things that tend to be very much sought after out of that country, that we'll see those prices improve, which will be positive for our industry. So it's a very positive. Whenever we can ship more product to more consumers around the globe, it's a good situation.
Y'all, you know, kind of alluded there within presentation that Japan could actually slip up and become our number one beef export customer again.
We expect we'll see that in this year, that they will end up being number one again, and they were number one by a long ways in 2003. We were shipping nearly 1 billion pounds of product to Japan in 2003, and this last few years we've been just shy of half of that, so lots of potential growth there that we're excited about.